Hello, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving. As my contribution to your holiday, I'm going to give you a big serving of BS from Dan Richards, and you can choose whether to swallow it or not.
Look who's back. It's the friend of the channel, Dr. Andrew White. Okay, maybe friend is a little bit of a stretch, but I'm going to give you some friendly advice, Dr. White. If you give people the option to spit, they tend to spit. So just putting that out there, as you get older, you'll probably figure this one out, along with some other things. Like, by the end of the video, you'll figure out that I'm not full of BS. But you might have known that already, considering that the way you built your case is, well, it's generally speaking the way you guys build your cases when you're like, oh, you're not endorsing that white supremacy stuff with your hunt for Atlantis. It's degrees of separation. You never seem to, like, actually have the dude saying the horrible stuff. You got somebody else saying the horrible stuff. So strap yourselves in for more of that archaeological ineptitude / dishonesty / thanks for more fodder for the freaking cannon, Doc. Hi, my name's Dan, and welcome to the Dunking. Ignatius Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis, despite Flint Dibble making sure to name drop that f***er anytime he gets a chance.
Okay, that was our friend Dan Richards asserting that Ignatius Donnelly did not, quote, believe in a white Atlantis. So in case you're not familiar, Ignatius Donnelly was the author of Atlantis, the Antediluvian World, which was published in 1882. Donnelly laid out his arguments for Atlantis being the ultimate source of the civilizations that one finds around the world. His arguments are much the same as those used by Graham Hancock and others, basically that travelers or refugees from Atlantis carried the seeds of civilization around the world, North America, South America, Egypt. Donnelly's evidence largely consists of claimed similarities in architecture, language, and mythology among widely separated societies. And his contention is that these similarities could only have arisen because of a common source. And for him, that common source is the lost continent of Atlantis.
That is correct. Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis. He believed in a... well... see, Donnelly lived in a complicated time for race, as far as all that stuff goes, as we'll discuss. But Donnelly's beliefs certainly were not an all-white Atlantis. And this is something that is easy to prove using the words Donnelly put in this book that he wrote called Atlantis, The Antediluvian World. But since Dr. White made a response video to my appearance on the old JRE, we'll let him carry on so, you know, he can dig the hole and I'll just throw the dirt back on top and we're done.
So Richards is railing here against what he thinks is the unfair characterization of Donnelly's work. He insists that Donnelly and others would have had a very simple biblical view of race, and that Donnelly did not see Atlantis as a white homeland.
The way that these guys attach the white supremacy thing is they go back to guys from the 1800s that wrote about Atlantis that had some old school views on race. Now, they believed in the biblical races, and the way that the biblical races came to be is something you'll never find John Hoops or Flint Dibble tell you because it guts their entire argument. Before the flood, there was one race of humans. After the flood, Noah gets drunk. Three of his sons are around. One of them picks on him, laughs at him. Two other ones don't. The one that picked on him was Ham. African people were considered to be the Hamites. The Semitic people were in the middle. And then the other one, the Japhethites, which eventually became the Aryans, were considered to be the white people. That was the European view of race for up until about 150 years ago. So 200 years ago, a guy writing about Atlantis would not have thought it was an Aryan Atlantis because Aryans didn't exist until after Noah. It was one of Noah's sons. So before the flood, there was no Aryans. So anytime somebody says that this old school shit believes in Aryans, all you have to do is scratch the surface and you'll find that's not the case at all. This guy didn't believe in a white Atlantis. Ignatius Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis.
I call bullshit on that. Richards is completely wrong, so let's get into the facts.
Yep, that is what I said when I was talking to Joe and Jim, and I stand by it. You know, Donnelly's beliefs were a tiny bit more complicated, but not much. You know, in those days, the Bible was losing its ground or its like position as the scientific perfection. The idea of a 6,000-year-old earth was falling apart, and the idea that a lot of these stories in the Bible were metaphors or allegories and not actually describing a perfect description of the event, that was starting to become a lot more commonplace. And Donnelly lived in that time, and this did have a lot to do with the whole, you know, race thing. I mean, people did look at the whole idea of the three biblical races. Perhaps this was a generalization and stuff. And if you read Donnelly's writings, you'll see that it's a little bit complicated at times. However, the three biblical races, that base idea, heavily informed his position, and most importantly, he did not believe in a white Atlantis. Now, the story of Noah and his sons, basically, like I just said there, that's the gist of it. But it goes way, way, way back in time. It's basically in the first century of Christianity. You see it before the first century is even done. In the book Antiquities of the Jews, written in 94 AD, we read the following. Now the sons of Noah were three, Shem, Japheth, and Ham, born 100 years before the deluge. These first of all descended from the mountains into the plains, and fixed their habitation there, and persuaded others who were greatly afraid of the lower grounds on account of the flood, and so were very loath to come down from the higher places, to venture to follow their examples. Now the plain in which they first dwelt was called Shinar. God also commanded them to send colonies abroad, for the thorough peopling of the earth, that they might not raise seditions among themselves, but might cultivate a great part of the earth, and enjoy its fruits after a plentiful manner. But they were so ill-instructed that they did not obey God, for which reason they fell into calamities, and were made sensible by experience of what sin they had been guilty for when they flourished with the numerous youth. God admonished them again to send out colonies, but they, imagining this prosperity they enjoyed was not derived from the favor of God, but supposing that their own power was the proper cause of the plentiful condition they were in, did not obey him. Nay, they added to this their disobedience to the divine will, the suspicion that they were therefore ordered to send out separate colonies, that being divided asunder they might more easily be oppressed. Now they were the grandchildren of Noah, in honor of whom names were imposed on the nations by those that first seized upon them. Japheth, the son of Noah, had seven sons. They inhabited so, that the beginning in the mountains of Taurus and Amanus, and blah, 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 they inhabited a whole bunch of places. And after laying out where all of the Japhethites lived, then it talks about Sam and Ham, and talks about where their different people were, and basically it all corresponds to what the belief was that I expressed on Joe Rogan. The Semitic peoples were the sons of Sam, the Africans and the dark-skinned people down there were the sons of Ham, and that all the honkies were the sons of Japheth. That was the prevailing belief at the time.
Thankfully, we don't have to try to figure out what Donnelly believed. We can just read what he wrote. Just as a data point, the word Aryan appears in the Antediluvian World 101 times.
Now remember this, Dr. White says we can use the words of Donnelly to know what Donnelly believed. So when he goes and uses the words of somebody else and says, I bet you that Donnelly believed this guy's words over here because he quoted him on this stuff, just keep that in mind, because the spoiler alert, there's a little bit of degrees of separation, just a gut feeling. Hey, I'm pretty sure that that guy would have believed the same thing. But it's also worth mentioning that the term Aryan was not loaded at this point, all right? The term Aryan was not a loaded term at this point. The seeds had been planted, and in a few more decades, the term would start to gain the negative connotations it has now. But really, that kind of took off because of some weird guy with a funny mustache, and he liked, like, these angry windmills, it looks like, and stuff. He kind of made a mess of Europe in the 40s. You might know the guy, right? And, you know, that is the reason the term Aryan is loaded nowadays. So even trying to compare it to the back in those days, it's not even close. That term was used a lot back in those days by all kinds of different people. So that's kind of absurd. I mean, the fact of the matter is, though, let's be clear. Donnelly was one of those Aryan first types, all right? He was one of the guys that believed that, like, Aryans were a superior race. Like, so many other people back in those days. So many otherwise good people back in those days that had beliefs like this that were just like, whoo. But this belief was extremely common back in those days. But anyway, that's not to make apologism for it. It's to point out that this is a complicated thing, as we'll discuss more and more of as we go forward. But, you know, Andy is, you know, I can say that he's wrong a lot here. I can assert that he's wrong a lot here. I can assert that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about here. But I can also just show you. So let me just show you.
Donnelly first mentions Aryans on page 2. Atlantis was the original seat of the Aryan or Indo-European family of nations, as well as the Semitic peoples, and possibly also of the Turanian races.
Now, this is where he either is, like, bullshitting the audience, or he just does not get it. And it's tough to tell, to be honest with you. But, look, because this is a series of bullet points right at the beginning of the book, right? And this isn't the only bullet point here. Let's see what else we have. The oldest colony formed by the Atlanteans was probably in Egypt, whose civilization was a reproduction of that of the Atlantic island. Now, clearly this shows that he believed in brown people being Atlantis, right? He said the Egyptians were descended from them and stuff, right? So, it's also fair to point out, though, on the flip side, that he did not believe that those brown people were the same brown people as the Negroes, right? As the great old-fashioned terms that they liked to use back then. He did believe those were two separate bloodlines. But he did not believe in an all-white Atlantis. And I could end the video here. We just demonstrated that there, and according to Donnelly's beliefs, there was brown people in Atlantis. But the thing is, this is really a complicated mess. And I didn't really take time to elaborate on the Joe Rogan experience because, well, come on, man. We're all having a conversation, three of us, and we're talking about things. And this is it's a big old chestnut to unpack. But we'll go ahead and do it since old Andy here wants to make it look like I'm stupid or something. So let's start with Donnelly. Ignatius Donnelly did not become famous for writing books about Atlantis. In his time, his first claim to fame was his firebrand speeches on abolition. He was an abolitionist. The horrific racist, the demon of archaeologists everywhere, was an abolitionist. And not just a minor abolitionist, he was a big player in it. He helped found the Bureau of Education and made sure that it was set up to educate former slaves and enable them to vote. That was a big deal to him. He had things set up in Minnesota, which was not even a major stop on the, like, Underground Railroad and stuff, but he had things set up there that if you were an ex-slave, it was a good place to be. He was a complicated individual. Yes, his beliefs on race were pretty messed up, but he wasn't the kind of guy that most people's beliefs on race back then were pretty messed up, and his beliefs were more of that soft bigotry of low expectations as opposed to, like, this hatred or, you know, complete disdain. For example, here's a little thing from his diary there. I challenge the history of the past to produce a single instance where a revolution has occurred under equal laws in the attempt of any class to rise above the level of common rights to oppress any other portion of the population. The selfishness of human nature is not capable of any such effort. But I likewise challenge the historian to point to a single community where unjust laws did not sooner or later result in wars and turbulence. If it is true, as argued by some, that the history of the world shows that the Negro belongs to an inferior race, that he is unfitted to compete with the white man in the desperate struggle for life, the more reason is there why he should be protected by equal laws. Now, this was a common issue in those days. Just people that were anti-racists were racists back then. It was a messed up world by modern standards. But the question here is Ignatius Donnelly a flaming racist? Because, yeah, by modern standards, he absolutely was a flaming racist. But was his belief in Atlantis a white Atlantis? That is the question here. Keep that in mind.
Aryan didn't start off as a loaded word. It was introduced to the English language around 1800. It was originally a Sanskrit word. By the time of Donnelly's writing in 1882, the word Aryan had morphed from a term used for ethnocultural self-designation in India to a term that was well-used and well-loved by some of the most famous racists in Europe. Term is in his book 101 times.
Well, that's correct at first. That term didn't start out loaded, like I said earlier, but it did eventually become fairly loaded. But even today, you will find that term being used in scientific papers and stuff, and it's not being used in a racist way. There's a paper here linked below that's called The Origins of the Indo-Iranians, and in it there is a section, The Origins of the Indo-Aryans. And this is not an uncommon type of occurrence. So to say, well, it was quoted a kajillion times. Yeah, if they're talking about that, they would be talking, you would use that term over and over again. This is not very intellectually honest, or it's really, really, really ignorant of history, which would be kind of a weird thing for an archaeologist to have an issue with, but it wouldn't be the first time I've seen that.
So who did Donnelly think these Aryans were, and what did they have to do with Atlantis? It's interesting how Donnelly tries to fit the biblical narrative of the flood into his ideas about Atlantis, and Donnelly's thoughts on race are anything but the simple story that Dan Richards tells us. Donnelly, like many of the racists of his time, considered all of Noah's sons to be white. That's Ham, Shem, and Japhet. White. All of them. And Donnelly recognized four major races in the world. Black, red, yellow, and white. And Donnelly says, of these four races, the Bible only talks about one race. And that is the sons of Noah, and they are all white. The Japhets, which are the Aryans, the Hamites, which are the sons of Ham, which are slightly darker-skinned people like Egyptians, and then you've got the sons of Shem.
Now, Dr. White is correct that the situation is a little bit more complicated than I expressed when I was talking about Donnelly himself. Now, generally speaking, what I said was accurate, but Donnelly himself is a tiny bit more complicated, and Dr. White's right to call me out on that one. However, the situation's not a whole lot more complicated. We'll let Dr. White, we'll follow his advice, and we'll listen to what Ignatius Donnelly had to say on the thing, and that could tell us, you know, what he believed or didn't believe. If the Aryans are of the Japhetic race, and if Japheth was one of the sons of the patriarch who escaped from the deluge, then assuredly, if the tradition of Genesis be true, the Aryans came from the drowned land, to wit, Atlantis. So if the Aryans are descended from Japheth, and Japheth is one of the sons of Noah, and Noah escaped Atlantis, you could say that the Aryans traced their origins to Atlantis. And Sam and Ham, the other two sons of Noah? Well, you could also say that the Semitic people and that the African people, or the Hamitic people, or however you want to say it, traced their origins to Atlantis. Same whole thing there, right? And this is right there on page 456 of Atlantis, the Antediluvian World. It spells it out clearly that Japheth was the father of the Aryans. So I'm not really sure if, you know, Dr. White was like playing Five Nights at Freddy's and listened to this as an audiobook, or I mean, maybe running around in a furry costume and had it in his earbuds or something. I don't really know, but I something had to be distracting the man, because this is like clear as day if you pay attention to it. Maybe he's being dishonest. I'd like to think that's not the case, but I mean, something's up here, because this is really easy to find, man. Anyway,
for Donnelly, then, everyone on Atlantis was white. Some were whiter than others, and the Japhets, sons of Japhet, family of Japhet, those were the Aryans, and they were, of course, the whitest of the white, and therefore the best of the best.
Now, isn't this cute? Earlier it was like, oh, they're all white supremacists and believe Aryans first. And now it's like, oh, yeah, and most of the races in the world are Aryan, by the way. And it's just like, all right, dude, well, you just needed whatever position he wants in order to be in the best footing possible for his debating stuff or whatever. He's just trying to look good. Fuck all to the truth, right? And it's pretty clear at this point. But what's also clear is that he has yet to provide a shred of evidence to prove that Donnelly believed that Atlantis was a white place. He has provided evidence of him saying that Atlantis was not an Aryan place. So that's a step in the right direction. And you just got to have actually read the fucking book and pay attention. It's not so complicated.
Right. And this construction of the four races and those three families or types being inside of white race and being the sons of Noah is not an original idea of Donnelly's. He quotes Francois Lenormand at length about this. So Lenormand also split the peoples of the world into these four quote-unquote great races: white, yellow, black, red.
Now, this is the only time Andy comes close to making a case in this video, as far as I'm concerned. It does look like that's what Donnelly believes, if you haven't read the rest of the book. Donnelly's a little bit noncommittal when it comes to these things, but even if you say that he did believe in the four races, that other newfangled idea of the time, on page 109, he wrote a clergyman who visited the Indians northwest of the Ohio in 1764 met, at a treaty, a party of Indians from the west of the Mississippi. They informed him that one of their most ancient traditions was that, a great while ago, they had a common father who lived toward the rising of the sun and governed the whole world, that all the white people's heads were under his feet, that he had 12 sons by whom he administered the government, that the 12 sons behaved very bad and tyrannized over the people, abusing their power, that the Great Spirit, being thus angry with them, suffered the white people to introduce spirituous liquors among them, made them drunk, stole the special gift of the Great Spirit from them, and by this means usurped power over them, and ever since then the Indians' heads were towards the rising sun, towards Atlantis, for the original home of their race, that this region governed the whole world, that it contained white people, who were at first a subject race, but who subsequently rebelled and acquired dominion over the darker races. We will see reason hereafter to conclude that Atlantis had a composite population, and that the rebellion of the Titans in Greek mythology was the rising up of a subject population. Does that sound like a white Atlantis to you?
And Lenormant also considered the family of Ham, which is one of Noah's sons, to be white, not black. He said, they possess all the characteristics of the white race, but are distinguished by their dark color. He considered the family of Shem also to be white, saying that they are a purer and handsomer type of the white race than the Hamites. Still not as good as the Japhethites, though.
Oh, wow. So now if somebody quotes someone else and that person has ever said anything unsavory, we can just attribute it to the first person? Do you know how bullshit, how intellectually dishonest, how stupid this is? Let me show you the kind of slippery slope you jump on with this stupid shit. Susan B. Anthony once said, I will cut off this right arm of mine before I will ever work or demand the ballot for the Negro and not the woman. Now, much like Ignatius Donnelly, Susan B. Anthony didn't become famous back in her day for what we know her for now. She was a famous abolitionist just like him. And didn't stop her from being pretty spicy when it came to race, though, right? And if you were to, like, see somebody who quoted Susan B. Anthony talking about women voting, and they said something else altogether, you wouldn't really think that you could assume that they would also endorse this quote about women voting, would you? Even though this quote is about women having the right to vote, mind you. It doesn't mean that people that believe that women should have the right to vote believe that black people shouldn't. I think we all understand that. But Andy tries that exact same type of logic here. Well, person X says this, and person Y quoted person X once. Therefore, they must also believe this other quote that's very unsavory that I want to attribute to them. It's underhanded. It's bullshit. Andy does it a few more times this video with this exact freaking two people right here. And I'm not going to give that any traction. The link's down below. If you want to look at that, you can.
And where was Francois Lenormant getting his ideas? Well, in the chapter on race, he cites Arthur de Gobineau and his famous treatise, An Essay on the Inequality of the Human Races. This is, of course, a very, very famous racist treatise published in 1855, probably among the most influential racist works of the 1800s.
Now, this is hilarious to me because the whole thing starts with, like, before this video even, right, with Graham Hancock being called not a racist because he quotes Ignatius Donnelly. And then they take another quote of Ignatius Donnelly's that Hancock didn't use, and they're like, oh, yeah, but I bet you he might believe that one, too. And then they take Ignatius Donnelly, and they take the guy that he quoted, that Francois Lenormant guy, and they say, man, he said some pretty spicy shit that Donnelly didn't say. Donnelly said some spicy stuff, but here's some other spicier stuff. Let's just say maybe Donnelly probably believed that one, too. And then they take this Lenormant guy and say, you know, he said some spicy shit, but he also quoted this other dude, this, what the hell is the dude's name, de Gobineau, and that guy said some even crazier shit, so maybe de Gobineau's crazier stuff could also be attributed to Lenormant, therefore it could be attributed to Donnelly, therefore it could be attributed to Graham Hancock, and I don't know why she swallowed the fly, I guess she'll die. I mean, what in the fuck kind of logic is this? And my dear God, could you imagine going to college and having a teacher try to teach you to thought like this? Holy fuck, how would you not fail that class?
Now, DiGobbino did see the connection between the peoples of the world and the biblical races a little bit differently. He did classify Ham as black rather than white, but Shem and Japhet were white people.
So what, we're not going to attribute that quote to Donnelly, even though it's would like I would like to see it done that way, but you don't want to because it's going to undermine your position, huh? Kind of funny there, Dr. White. It's almost like you're just kind of feeling your way through this one, buddy. You're just kind of attributing things to Donnelly that he didn't really say, and you're just kind of picking and choosing as we go along. And he does this a few more times with DiGobbino, and I'm not going to go into all the details there. Again, the link is in the description if you want to see him twist shit up, knock yourself out. But I've already shown you, he's just the things that he's attributing to Donnelly come from Gobineau with no reason to say he believes this as well. He has to quote Gobineau because he doesn't have it coming from Donnelly.
I couldn't find where Donnelly cites DiGobbino directly, but he clearly would agree with him on many of the aspects of the connections between civilization and whiteness. So here's a quote from DiGobbino.
Seriously, dude. What the fuck? He's just going to agree because you think he's going to agree? You have zero fucking evidence. And you're just claiming this. And it is tying people to racism, for fuck's sake. This is science, people. This is science in 2024, and they're going to say that I'm the reason that people don't trust archaeologists, or I'm one of the reasons. They're going to blame people like me for exposing this kind of stupidity, this kind of unscientific bullshit being peddled right in people's faces, and yet somehow it's other people that are lying. It's other people doing the bullshitting here. This is absolutely insane. Science, yo.
And again, the word Aryan is used interchangeably with Atlantean throughout Atlantis, the antediluvian world. There is no doubting the connection that he is making there between white people, Atlantis, civilization. None. No reason to speculate on what he might believe. He is telling us. When people tell you something, put some weight on it.
No, it is not used interchangeably with Atlantean, and I'm pretty sure you know it because you don't have a screenshot or a quote or anything to back it up. It's just an empty-ass assertion. And then that's fine, I suppose, except for, again, you're a scientist, and you're making these empty assertions, and it's kind of bullshit. And your position, what's your evidence? It's believe somebody when they say something, so believe Donnelly when Donnelly's words say something. But what do Donnelly's words say, man? We will see hereafter to conclude that Atlantis has a composite population and that the rebellion of the Titans in Greek mythology was the rising up of a subject population. There is no reason for you to quote other people in order to make your case when Donnelly has laid it out clear as day. He did not believe in a white Atlantis.
So according to Donnelly, it's clearly the light-skinned Aryans that spread civilization across the Mediterranean into Asia and Europe, and also into North and South America. It's Aryans all the way. There can be little doubt, Donnelly writes, that a fair-skinned, light-haired, bearded race holding the religion which Plato says prevailed in Atlantis carried an Atlantean civilization at an early day up the valley of the Amazon to the heights of Bolivia and Peru, precisely as a singular emigration of Aryans went westward to the shores of the Mediterranean and Caspian. And it is very likely that these diverse migrations habitually spoke the same language.
Now this is back to square one again. All right, so if Donnelly believed the Japhethites were the superior race, right, and they were the one that did all the settling after the flood, then, and they were white, then you would have white settlers after the flood with the Atlantean religion settling the globe. And that's Donnelly's position. They're not white Atlanteans. They were the sons of Japheth, who was the son of Noah, who once lived on Atlantis and escaped it. It's kind of hilarious, but they kind of have to maintain this. I get it, because that SAA letter is kind of prominent. They wrote that letter to Netflix, for those of you who are unaware, and they said that the origins of modern-day Atlantis hunting of Graham Hancock's theories could be traced to Ignatius Donnelly's Atlantis, the Antediluvian World, and Ragnarok, the Age of Fire and of Ice and Gravel, that was also written by Donnelly. Now, they've hung their hat on this. The SAA is all in on this, and in, rather than retracting, amending, or saying, you know what, we might have got something wrong, and we might have had some overzealous John Hoops guy running around in there fucking things up, instead of saying that, they just doubled down. So here we are, with an archaeologist basically ignoring what Ignatius Donnelly says. Well, he says, Dan didn't read the book. You can't make this shit up, fellas. You just can't make it up.
So Dan Richards' contention that Ignatius Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis is total bullshit. He very clearly did, and he wrote that, and that was a big part of what his book was about. So if you want to take your Sunday school version of what you think people in the mid-1800s thought about race, not even intellectually curious enough to dig in and read it for yourself, then I don't know how to help you, but that statement is clearly bullshit.
Ignatius Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis.
Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
Oh my God, this guy is insufferable. Okay, you want to keep repeating yourself? All right, let me go ahead and repeat myself. Let's read the quote from Ignatius Donnelly once again. We will see reason hereafter to conclude that Atlantis had a composite population, and that the rebellion of the Titans in Greek mythology was the rising up of a subject population. You know, when you're doing research, I found that it really helps to, like, be interested in what you're reading instead of, like, looking for weapons. Because if you do that, you actually can retain your knowledge, and if you don't, you might end up, you know, being a guy with a PhD and having some electrician feeding you freaking your own words with the side of crow because you done fucked up. But, you know, take whatever advice you like.
So who is this guy? I don't even know. So my impression of Dan Richards is that he wants to present himself as somebody who is reasonable to both sides, plays down the middle, and sticks to the facts, and is very analytical. He doesn't strike me as somebody who is sincere and actually wants to have a conversation. He strikes me as somebody who is a little bit angry, who has a chip on his shoulder, somebody who takes things very personally. I'm not great at, well, I'm a pretty good judge of character, but I'm not going to wade into psychoanalysis because that's silly. He seems to have been successful in attracting an audience to himself, you know, getting invited to do things, talking to people. So I guess if you're on YouTube, like if that's your deal, that's some measure of success.
And so here it is, this super low form of self-awareness. It's like, I'm the one that takes all this stuff so personally. But it's like, I point out where Flint Dibble lied, and all of a sudden I'm a fucking pariah to all the archaeologists that used to be my buddies and stuff. They're like, oh, you called Flint a liar, and all of us will reject you. But you take this stuff personally. And he makes a video talking shit about me as a person. Can't not include the part where you're like, well, I wonder what kind of person this dog shit person is. Can't not include that in your little video there while you say that I take stuff personally. But let's be clear. If you've watched my stuff on this, I'm the one that's always laughing about these things. Flint's the one with the beet red face screaming if you're talking about that stuff as far as taking it personal. Now, the things that I do take personal is like, personal is the wrong word, but the stuff that pisses me off is when archaeologists lie to the public, especially when it comes to like their political ideological reasons or whatever. It's like, dude, you have no clue the damage you're doing to your political movement, to your freaking scientific field of study, just to your own person. Like, the damage to your image is so hefty from that kind of stuff, and not getting it, the lack of figuring that one out is really, it does upset me sometimes, because it's like, I do like science a lot. It's like, man, you guys are in there freaking destroying it with your fucking own egos, man. Anyway, I could bitch about that side of it, but the rest of it, taking this shit personally, man, you guys can call me whatever the fuck you want. I don't care, all right? I'm perfectly content calling them like I see them, like I have been since I started.
A lot of these guys, I think, though, just to be honest, they're falling into the trap of confusing popularity for honesty and insight and accuracy and expertise, and it's not the same thing. And that's Dan Richards. I got to get my fingers up here. So that's Dan Richards, Graham Hancock, Joe Rogan. The guy's head is swollen like a Macy's Day Parade balloon at this point. Jimmy Corsetti, who has never met a true fact, as far as I can tell. Anyway, that's the pack that Dan is running in now.
This is so condescending to the general public. I almost can't believe it, but I've seen enough of this ivory tower crap to not be too terribly surprised. But look, man, like, most people don't just grab everything by confirmation bias and run with it, and certainly not the big players in this community. Like, when I made a video about Flint Dibble being a big fat liar on the Joe Rogan Experience, Joe watched my video and looked into it. He didn't just assume that I was telling the truth. And that's why I ended up on the show, and that's why he ended up pointing out that Flint was full of shit. When Flint defends himself against my video, you can see the same issue on the flip side of it, because he can never, like, actually honestly portray my points. He has to, like, clip them down and edit me and put me out of context so that I'm never saying exactly what I said, because he can't defend against that because it's the fucking truth. But most people don't just accept what they're told because they're told it. They actually look under the hood. A lot of people, like, I don't know statistics, but just assuming that people that are interested amateurs are looking into things and then just grab confirmation bias and run with it. It's more offensive to the interested amateurs than my beard is attractive to female archaeologists. You know who you are.
If you can't be bothered to read that and to understand what Donnelly was actually saying, and if you just have a knee-jerk reaction that it's not fair to call it racist because it hurts my feelings or whatever, like, it is. It's a racist document. You know, and again, does that mean that everybody who's interested in Atlantis is a racist? No, of course not. But to say that Donnelly did not envision a white Atlantis is total bullcrap.
Oh, now we're going to change the goalpost a little bit. Yes, the book is racist as fuck. It is not about a white Atlantis. Two different things.
I suggest reading it and doing a little bit of homework. If you can make an argument how I have misread or misrepresented the white supremacist use of the term Aryan in the late 1800s, including how Donnelly used it, then I would love to hear that argument.
Now, isn't that a cute way of wording it? It's like, I make the statement that Ignatius Donnelly did not believe in a white Atlantis, and he goes off about, yes, he did, and by the way, if you can prove that I misused the word Aryan, you've got me. It's like, no, I don't need to fucking touch that at all, dude. Just, white Atlantis. Did you prove that Ignatius Donnelly believed in a white Atlantis? Because you didn't. He said it was a multicultural place. So, at any rate, what we've got here is kind of a funny deal, because it's like the angry chihuahua or whatever from the archaeology community. Andy's over here, like, with a chip on his shoulder, angry at me, pissed off because I called out Flint Dibble for lying. Okay, and this is what's really funny about it, because, you know, the scientific community claims that they, you know, they change, that they correct themselves. And generally speaking, they do. But there's certain groups of people and certain aspects and certain little cliques and, like, these group of archaeologists that like to play debunker of pseudo-archaeology, these guys, they're pretty intellectually dishonest when it comes to a lot of this stuff. A lot of this stuff is really, really bad, to be honest, and you kind of watch them destroy the good name of science, because a guy like Flint putting lies in front of millions of people, that's the kind of thing that another scientist should have caught him on and should have grilled him on themselves and been very concise and like, sir, you were wrong here, 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 and here. But nobody did that because they are supporting him even though he gets shit wrong. When Milo Rossi threw a bunch of rocks at Graham Hancock's fucking Ancient Apocalypse season 1, same thing. He gets tons of facts wrong, doesn't matter. Archaeologists support him. And it's like, this is the opposite of science, okay? You guys are supposed to be, like, correcting yourselves, and when you don't, and the world sees you fucking full of shit, or sees you supporting liars in, like, lockstep in huge groups, it doesn't look like one bad actor anymore. And you can't really blame guys like me for shining a flashlight on you when you guys react like you're fucking insane. Anyway, That's all the bitching I have to say about that. Thanks a lot for watching this far. Much thanks to my new subscribers and my old subscribers, to channel members, to Patreon supporters, to Ko-Fi supporters, to people who share the links of this stuff with their mom, their grandma, their best friend's friend. And remember, you can always attribute anything I said to any person that you've heard say anything else that remotely like it from at least 3 or 4 people away, if you're an archaeologist. Otherwise, you have to defer to an archaeologist and let them choose which one goes which way. All right. Anyway, thanks so much for watching. You guys have a great day.